News with Nick, October 9th, 2019. It is the last day of the year that you can write either the month or the day with one number. So tomorrow you go into work and you go, hello, everyone. Welcome to the first day of the year. Well, where both the month and the day of the year are two numbers, two digits, by the way, right? Head on over to the website, newswithnick.com. Check out the video version of the show. And on the sidebar on the left, you can click and type in your number, your phone number, with the area code, and you'll get text messages when the show is about to run once per month. Then you can make sure you're in front of your computer to not watch it and forget about it entirely and go do something else. Great. Let's jump right into it. Longview school bus driver has resigned after a DUI arrest.
To support the educational program by safely transporting students. Hey. On Friday, parents learned police arrested a woman on suspicion of driving a Longview school bus while under the influence.
As a parent.
A school bus driver was arrested for driving under the influence after completing two bus routes on Thursday afternoon, police said. Catherine Macarone, 48, faces charges of DUI and two counts of reckless endangerment. According to the Longview police, someone called 911 around 4 p.m., so we actually have the post here from the police department on September 12th. Oh, this is a long time ago. Sorry about that, folks. Longview police officers were dispatched in an attempt to locate DUI driver. The reporting person stated a female was driving a Longview school bus district bus and appeared to be intoxicated. The 911 communication center contacted the school district department of transportation and was able to get the bus driver to stop near Nichols Boulevard. We don't even care where it was, but there it was. Officers contacted the driver, who was identified as Catherine. Officers smelled an obvious odor of intoxicants coming from Macarone. Based on the investigation, she was placed under arrest for driving under the influence. There were no children in the bus at the time of the arrest. However, she had recently completed two afternoon bus routes. Officers are currently working to identify all of the passengers. Wait, why? So they interview the kids? How crazy was she? She was booked into the jail for DUI and reckless endangerment, and additional charges are forthcoming. Can you believe it? Like, so if you're driving drunk and you have a kid in your car, that's automatically an aggravated DUI. And they can probably tack on endangerment of a child, right? Imagine you did a bus route twice. How many kids are on the bus? Probably like more than 30. Remember when you're on the bus as a kid and the bus is getting fuller and fuller and you're like, no, please, we can't do three to a seat. It's kind of like on Southwest Airlines when you hope no one sits next to you. But if no one sits next to you, you're gross, right? Because like, wait, did I get lucky? Or do I look gross and I'm a big fatso and no one wants to sit next to me? I don't know. I've done that bit before. There is video of the driver, so let's see what's going on. Video of a Washington school bus driver accused of driving drunk showed the woman screaming at students, telling them that she is totally crazy. Catherine Macarone, 48, has resigned from her job after being charged with driving under the influence. Oh, so what I was getting at is like you run the route twice. That's 60 kids, possibly. Is that 60 counts of endangering a child? Because that, you could be in jail for the rest of your life.
Oh, no, 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 driving, no, no, whoa, no.
She's just driving. There's kids in the back, and she's going, no, no, no. Kids are screaming. You know, sometimes is that she said, sometimes people tell you you look like someone else and you're like, no, I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes you wonder why you look like someone else.
Sometimes you wonder why you look like someone else and you're like, no, I don't know them.
And you're like, wow, I don't know who they are. Why do I look like them?
That doesn't make any sense. Let's fast forward and see if she screams anything else.
Yeah.
Oh, she's put on sunglasses now.
I'm totally crazy. I am so fun crazy. Because I love And most people, they're like, oh, so quiet, and they don't say nothing. I'm just super happy and silly and funny, and you're like, oh my gosh, he's crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I'm like, I graduated college like 3 different times.
Oh, you know? Amazing. I graduated college 3 different times. I'm not crazy. I am crazy. I'm so funny. I love life and everyone. That's what she was saying.
Why did I do this? Because my marriage sucks.
Oh my God. She's in the bus alone and she's talking to herself.
Because my marriage sucks.
My marriage sucks.
And my husband is a son of a gun. And there's nobody on this bus. So, yeah, he is the son of a gun with a D in front of it.
My husband is a son of a gun. There's nobody on this bus. She realized that she was not talking to anybody. So did she know the cam footage would be released? I don't know. So that's pretty amazing. Anyway, while she's under arrest, we'll try to see if she gets full-on charged with 60 counts of child endangerment, because that would be quite a few. So this week I was at work and I'm just doing my normal job, right? And an email comes through and I think nothing of it. It says, hey, here's the email of all the extensions for everyone's phone, right? Every once in a while, they just email the extension list out so that you can save it to your desktop. And then if you need to call Mary Jew over in sales, you can. I did not mean to say that. That was not supposed to be racist. So anyway, you can. 5 minutes later, another email comes through, and the subject line is in, like, all caps, wrong file, disregard, right? So I'm like, oh, well, now I have to look at what it was. It was a file named lockers.xls, and I open it, and it's everyone's name and their locker combination if they've been assigned a locker down in the gym area. Not the gym area, but, like, the changing room area. So pretty much they just emailed out the combinations of everyone's locker, not encrypted at all. I can't believe it. So maybe I shouldn't be saying this publicly. People can hunt them down and like file a suit or something. But it was obvious. Everyone knows it happened, right? So I don't know what they're going to do now. I don't know if you can change the lockers. Now, my idea was because the file has like the number of the locker and then the combination, just take all the numbers off. And then scramble them up and then stick them back on in random order. So everyone's locker is a new number, right? It seems like a great idea. Did an AOC supporter suggest eating babies to fight climate change? ? Did you guys hear about this? Everyone probably has. We'll play the audio anyway, just in case. So AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, right, is taking some questions at a town hall meeting. And a lady stands up and decides that she's going to take a moment of AOC's time.
We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel. It's not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant.
Everyone in the background is just looking at her. And there's some lady way back here with her phone. You can't really tell. Is she purposely like recording this because it's funny? Or is she just taking photos because that's just what she does?
Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting Ukraine.
So her shirt says, save the planet, eat the children. Now, everyone seemed to gloss over this fact that she says, there's a Swedish professor that says we should be eating dead people. Who's that? Because I could not find it. There is someone who's saying that? We should be eating dead people to save the environment? Anyway, so this lady goes up, eat the children, right? And then AOC answers the question or gets the mic back.
That it does present. Luckily, we have more than a few months. We do need to hit net zero
we don't.
In several years. But I think we all need to understand that there are a lot of solutions that we have and that we can pursue, and that if we act in a positive way,
anyway,
there's space.
So Snopes has an article now. did an AOC supporter suggest eating babies to fight climate change? And they've got the little logo here that says mixture. So it's kind of true, but mostly not true or whatever. The woman wasn't an AOC supporter, nor was she actually suggesting eating babies. She apparently was working at the behest of a fringe conspiracy group with a history of such stunts. They stated their intent was to troll AOC. So they've linked it back to, let's see, a group called Lyndon LaRouche PAC. Historian Matthew Sweet described the group as a bizarre political cult in an interview with the Washington Post about the incident. Sweet, who has studied the group's history, told the Post that the woman's stunt fell in line with their standard operating procedures, which was to go to political meetings, create a disturbance that disrupts the meeting, and more importantly, create some kind of chaos. Blah, blah, blah. The group has been around for decades, founded by conspiracy crank Lyndon LaRouche. I don't like... Snopes is giving people, calling people names? Conspiracy crank? Is that appropriate for a fact-based site such as Snopes, which is a man and a woman who sit in their basement going, "What, do you think this is real or not real?" And they go, probably not real. Let's just say false. Right? Yeah, who Snopes is the Snopesies. Right? I never thought of that. Anyway, obviously not real. So everyone loved that story. But you know, there's going to be people who go, "Oh, you're an AOC supporter? How many chickens do you eat?" Anyway, there was one time that I was at a political rally and a group of people disrupted it rudely by yelling, "Mic check." And then everyone else goes, "Mic check." And I turn all around. I'm like, I'm surrounded by people who are yelling, "Mic check. We are the 99%. We are the 99%. It was like, they were hidden among us the whole time, right? So they interrupt Ron Paul in the middle of his question and answer section, or rather near the end. And it happens, and I whip out my iPad, and I start recording. And I publish the video, like, immediately from the gym. And then I realize that I'm the only one that had any footage of this happening. At least online at the time, right? After 5 minutes it happened. This Occupy Wall Street thing was a huge movement on the internet, at least, and people covered it all the time. So if news got out that, "Hey, our group just interrupted Ron Paul, someone go find the footage," it wasn't up yet by any official news organization. The only footage was my stupid iPad in vertical video.
Street. Who are free?
There are protesters in jail.
There are protesters in jail.
There's something wrong.
Skipping ahead.
Do you feel better?
Ron Paul, do you feel better? And then he does his little speech.
Let's touch that for a minute, because if you listen carefully, I'm very much involved with the 99. I've been condemning that 1% because they've been ripping it off.
Anyway, 16,000 views, I think most of them coming within the first 10 minutes after the video was posted, because after that, CNN posted their version. But nope, I was the first one on the internet with the Ron Paul getting interrupted by Occupy Wall Street. How does it feel to be listening to a famous person talk? All right, Amber Geiger found guilty of murder in the fatal shooting of Botham Jean. So this was the Dallas police officer who fatally shot an unarmed man in his apartment and was found guilty of murder by the Dallas County jury on Tuesday. This trial went on for 8 days, and it was live streamed on YouTube. I didn't do any work for 8 straight days. I went into work, I put on my headset, and I started the live stream of the trial. And I was like, "What are you laughing at all day long?" And I go, "It's the trial. It's very funny." So the lady goes into the apartment. She sees the blacker gentleman in there. She goes, "Show me your hands," according to her. And he, like, gets up and goes toward her. So she shoots him, right? And doesn't render any aid. And instead is just texting her lover, like, "Get over here quick." Which, by the way, she testified that the lover was not coming over, right? That they'd been texting or sexting beforehand. And she testified that, no, he wasn't actually going to come over. I was just teasing him or whatever. He doesn't even know where I live. But then her other texts say, get over here immediately, right? And she didn't send her address, so, checkmate police, right? Anyway, so her entire defense was like, yes, I shot him, but I was scared. I thought it was my apartment, blah, blah, blah. And they actually had a ton of witnesses that went up and said, yeah, I've walked into the wrong apartment before. They had one witness that said some creepy guy walked into my apartment. And things like that, right? So they say, oh, she was definitely, it was an accident. She didn't mean to. So I thought, okay, for sure, manslaughter. Everyone thought for sure manslaughter. Jury goes away. 6 hours later, they go, nope, murder. Charged her with, accepted the murder thing. Let's see ya.
The jury having reached a verdict, Ms. Geiger and your team, would you please stand? We, the jury, unanimously find the defendant, Amber Geiger, guilty of murder as charged in the indictment. No outburst.
Oh, yeah, the audience started yelling.
And it is signed by the presiding juror, who is juror number 11. Mr. Rogers, would you like to have the jury poll?
No, Your
Honor. All right.
So she got 10 years, right, for murder. That's pretty low. If you're really saying it's murder, that's pretty low. But whatever. She's probably going to be out in 5, they say. People are mad because she didn't get the full-on thing. Like, she didn't get 25 or whatever. So that happened. Several days later, one of the witnesses, the key witnesses, gets killed. And then everyone's like, it was the police! It was the police! And everyone's like, everyone else is like, why would the police kill one of the witnesses against Amber after the trial? Like, I don't know. They were sending a message. And then a couple days after that, the police say, we found the guys who actually shot the witness. Here they are. It was a drug deal gone bad. So who knows, right? That's going on too, right? Let's see. Was there anything else related to Amber Geiger? Not really. I just wanted to update everyone on that. And we'll see if she gets out in 5 years or whatever. Speaking of police doing horrible things, police officer fired after a girl 6 years old arrested at school after a temper tantrum.
Charter school is under investigation after investigators say he arrested a six-year-old girl. Investigators say Dennis Turner arrested the student at Lucius and Emma Nixon Academy last week. As Channel 9's Q McCray reports, the six-year-old's grandmother says the whole thing started as a temper tantrum.
Well,
a school resource officer has been fired while Orlando police investigate why he arrested two children younger than 10. Channel 9 spoke to Merlinda Kirkland, who said her 6-year-old granddaughter was arrested after she had a temper tantrum. Kirkland said her granddaughter was arrested because she reportedly kicked a staff member during a temper tantrum. Now, these kids, from time to time, can get a little bit out of control, right? I used to work with a lady, and about twice a week, her phone would ring, and she'd have to pick it up. And they would go, you need to come pick up your granddaughter. And yes, it's always the granddaughter. Hey, not saying anything, but, you know, where's the regular mom? Anyway, you got to come and pick up your granddaughter. Like, what's she doing now? I don't know. She picked up a chair and hurled it across the room at the teacher. Kirkland said the school knows that her granddaughter can be prone to temper tantrums because she suffers from sleep apnea. What? She rushed to the juvenile assessment center where she found her granddaughter had been arrested for battery. I asked them for her, and they told me she was currently in process of being fingerprinted. And I think when they said fingerprinted is when it hit me home. I was like, fingerprinted? They said yes, and they escorted me into an office. And on the desk in that off, wait a minute. And they escorted me into an office, and on the desk in that officer were 2 mugshot pictures of my 6-year-old granddaughter. Okay, mess up. It was not me messing up the reading there. Orlando police said that it stopped the juvenile assessment center from fully processing the 6-year-old once it found out the school resource officer did not get his supervisor's approval before arresting her. Orlando Police Department policy states a supervisor must approve the arrest of anyone younger than 12 years old. Let's see if this video has any more info.
As it stands right now, the school resource officer is suspended while detectives tried to figure out exactly what happened here on Thursday. But we've also had an opportunity to speak to the grandmother of one of the children, and she told us her granddaughter wasn't just arrested, she was processed at the juvenile detention center. Had a mother.
I was processed. Didn't you guys ever go to these police days with your parents and they hang out and they fingerprint you? The police take your fingerprints as a six-year-old or whatever. And I go, Mom, why are they taking my fingerprints? And the mom goes, my mom says, you know, if you're lost or whatever, they can find you based on your fingerprints. Or like if you touched a gun or something. Like if I touched a gun, in my head, I'm like, if I touched a gun? So in my kid hypothetical brain, I'm like, okay, so I'm going to be lost and then I'm going to find a gun and I'm going to touch it and I'm going to put it down and then a police officer is going to come through dusting and find the gun I touched. And then what? Will that be good for me or bad for me? Like, oh, he touched a gun? He must be super brave. Or no, he touched a gun. He's in trouble.
Mugshot taken and her fingerprints. Marilyn Kirkland says her granddaughter, Kaya, is prone to temper tantrums because she suffers from sleep apnea and says the school knows to contact her when Kaya acts out and has done so in the past. But that wasn't the case Thursday when she got a call from the school resource officer saying her granddaughter was handcuffed.
Kaya was arrested, transported in a police car, fingerprinted when she arrived, mugshots taken. When got there and they sent it to me, her eyes were red. She was trembling like a leaf.
Six-year-old Kaya Roll attempted.
Well, good. Maybe that'll help. Maybe that'll help the scenario. Probably not, right? Breaking news. The state attorney's office will not pursue charges against 2 6-year-old children who were arrested for battery last week. Can you imagine? Hello, Your Honor. I'm six. You kicked someone. Okay, I did. What if she, and then she has a temper tantrum in the court. It's contempt of court. Now she's in jail. She's six or seven. She has to join a gang, right? She becomes a full-on lifer at six. Speaking of being six, a six-year-old boy who lived on the Pasqua Yaqui Indian Reservation near Tuscan has died after a man tried to exorcise a demon from him Thursday. According to a federal complaint, Pablo Martinez, he was arrested, charged with first-degree murder, and is in custody. He's identified as the boy's father and husband of Romelia Martinez, the boy's adoptive mother. Pablo Martinez told police and the FBI that within the last week, he noticed that his son had a demon inside of him. According to the criminal complaint, while giving the boy a bath, he saw something evil in the child and knew that he had to cast the demon out. On Thursday, police and fire officials from the Pasqua Yaqui tribe arrived at a home on the reservation in response to a call about a child who was burned, and FBI officials also responded. So what, do they have the FBI on quick dial? Because if I wanted the FBI at my house, I would not even know how to get them. Pablo Martinez told the police the boy had been acting demonic, a characterization that the mother agreed with. He told police that he needed to save him, and so he poured hot water down the boy's throat. Ooh, this is like the extreme hot water challenge. The wife told police that her husband had offered to bathe the boy and another child in the home, whom police did not identify. At some point during the bath, the other child left the room crying. When the boy's mother heard a gurgling sound in the bathroom, oh goodness, she came by and found the bathroom door locked. She unlocked it and went inside to find Pablo holding the son under the running faucet of hot water. She screamed at the top of her lungs for him to stop, but he responded that he had to do it. She called a pastor who didn't answer, and then she called 911. Okay, hang on. My headphones just came unplugged. I was reacting so strongly to the fact that she called a pastor first. Call the pastor, see if there really is a demon. Okay, we'll just call 911. So that's too bad. That is pretty sad and scary. So that guy's arrested. Now, apparently what happens is that the FBI or the feds have to get involved because it was an Indian reservation. It wasn't a state in particular. They've got their own laws. So if, I guess it's not, like, I guess there was a demon in him is not a valid defense in federal court, probably. I do wonder if it's a valid defense in the court of the Indians, right? Sir, can you prove there was a demon? No, because the pastor didn't pick up. The Bronx Zoo is so mad at people. By the way, I always wonder when I'm doing these shows. Like, I end one story, I don't say anything, and then I just start reading the next story with almost no segue, right? Almost no electric scooters in between them. But I guess, like, what are you going to do? Maybe that's why people like the show, is I've just got topic after topic, and I just read them until we're done, then until we're out of topics, right? The Bronx Zoo has said that a woman who trespassed inside its lion's enclosure on Saturday put herself in serious danger. Well, yeah, what are they going to say? We looked at the video and it actually seemed pretty fine. We don't think that she did anything wrong and we would expect everyone to want to do this now. The action was a serious violation and unlawful trespass that could have resulted in serious injury or death. A zoo spokesperson said of the woman who climbed over the visitor safety barrier at the African lion exhibit. The woman can be seen dancing and waving her hands as if taunting the lion to move, in a video that was taken by a bystander. Neither the woman nor the lion were injured. All right, so let's take a quick look at the video. So here she is. She's standing in like a bush, right? And it looks like that the only thing between her and the lion is another bush? It kind of looks like that.
That's what my dad used to do, though. Like, he was crazy. You know, looking like a mule.
She's like wiggling her hips. Now, let's go back. Some guy at the beginning of the video says, oh, this is something my dad would do.
That's what my dad used to do, though. Like,
that's what my dad used to do? Anyway, so it looks like there's a bush only between her. But then you read later that it was actually a full-on, like, one of those pits, right? So she wasn't actually next to the lion. It was one of those moats, right? I don't know how wide they are, but they must have been built for some reason. Or did they go, I don't think a lion can jump this far, so we'll just build this moat here. How did she get in anyway? This wasn't like a Harambe-style situation where the fence had like a gap in it. I think she just climbed over like a smaller fence. Because I was at the zoo, and there were these giraffes. And then I looked at the fence, and the fence is like less than 3 feet high. And it's not really even a fence. It's just like two metal bars and like maybe some posts. It's not like keeping anything in or out. It doesn't feel like I could just hurdle it. And then I'm in with the giraffes. I could have run around giraffe feet. Then I would have been this lady. All right, let's see if she's arrested. Woman caught on camera has been identified as a Brooklyn resident whose friends said she has gone off the rails in the past year. Oh my goodness. Her name is Maya Autry, 32. She said, I really have not fear of nothing breathing. Animals can feel love just like humans. In another video where she's been seen standing in the giraffe enclosure, she writes, literally, I have the same diet as a giraffe. Wait, there's another video where she can be seen standing in the giraffe enclosure? I didn't even read that part when I said giraffes. Police are now hunting for the woman to slap her with a trespassing citation. Whoa, rude. Autry on Wednesday flaunted her stunt with new pics on Instagram, including one of slain rapper Tupac and a lion, and a painting of the biblical queen of Sheba flanked by two lions. Wow. So I've tried to find her Instagram posts. Oh, wait, here's one. Is this it? I think some of these might have been taken down. Something snapped somewhere. Former housemate Eunice Walton, 63, told the Post, when I saw the video of the woman walking toward the lion, I said, why do people do this? People are crazy. And then Wednesday morning, I found out it was her. And I was like, what? Maya? Autry had been living with Walton and her daughter on Pacific Street in Brooklyn, but lost touch in recent months. Good story. So now we got a good story of her roommate, got a good story of her in the giraffe's den, in the lion's den. No jokes. No jokes about her being an animal in the den, please. That would be over the line. I didn't think it had gone that far, she said of the zoo videos. I want her to get help. I need her to get help because I'm scared for her. This was the older person, I guess. Blah, 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 blah. So anyway. Hey, there was a time in elementary school where I was under investigation for a racist crime, or maybe I was just a witness of a racist crime, but I was also like being investigated for not having stopped a racist crime. So I'm in the bathroom, I don't know, urinating or whatever, washing my hand. I don't even remember what I was doing or why I was in the bathroom. And I look over at one of the male urinals, and there's a hat, like, in the urinal. Someone has put a hat in the urinal. It's like, ugh, there's a hat in the urinal. It's elementary school, I think, or middle school at the most. And it's like, okay, someone, like, had a trash hat. They didn't want it. They shoved it in the urinal because they're a jokester, because they just are being rude, throwing stuff away or vandalizing the place. Like, here, that's funny. So someone goes up to the urinal. They're like, there's a hat in the urinal. Right, so you got two options. You can take the hat out of the urinal, but then you have to touch it with your hand, and who knows what's gone on in that urinal or with that hat, or you just have to urinate, so you just do, because you're a guy, right? So one of the guys from the school goes up to it, and he uses the urinal with the hat in it and flushes it. He's like, ah, well, guess someone that was someone's trash hat. And then Gary comes in to the bathroom. Gary was the one black kid in the school. And he goes, oh, my hat. I left it in here. Well, why is it in the urinal? And we go, oh, hey, Gary. And he goes, he picks it up out of the urinal. He goes, oh. And someone says, oh, by the way, it got urinated on, so you might want to rinse it off. He's like, oh, great. Jesus. And he leaves with his urinated on hat. I think nothing of it. Hours later, I get called to the office, maybe even the next day. And they're like, Nick, you were named as a witness of someone urinating on Gary's hat? And I said, I don't know. I guess. Like, why would you let someone urinate on Gary's hat? Like, it was just there. We didn't mean to. It's like, how would you feel if someone took your hat and urinated on it? I was like, I don't know. I didn't even do it. They let me go. Nothing happens. Years later, I go, oh, I wonder if they were asking that because Gary's black. Like, they seem to be taking it way more seriously than I thought it should have been taken. Because we didn't know it was Gary's hat at the time. But anyway, it's like, someone took the black kid's hat and urinated on it and then gave it back to him. I don't know. Anyway, that was funny. I still think of that happening. Like, I wish at the moment I'd realized, oh, you're asking because he's black. No, we didn't know that it was Gary. We like Gary. He's fine. Teen kidnapped after plan to expose man suspected of seeking underage sex goes awry. A 17-year-old girl was kidnapped in Vista. What? Windows Vista? Who uses that? After a plan hatched by a group of teens to gather information about a man they suspected of seeking underage sex went awry on Sunday. The kidnapping was reported from a Starbucks around 2:30 p.m. When deputies arrived, they were told that juveniles, two 17-year-olds and one 18-year-old, had used a social media application to contact a man who allegedly was seeking sex with girls. Yeah, if there's a man, he is probably allegedly seeking sex with girls, right? The group hoped to expose the male and turn over the information to law enforcement agencies for prosecution. The teens made contact with a 32-year-old man identified as Robert Dreyfus and exchanged a series of text messages. They eventually agreed to meet at the Starbucks. Investigators believe... So, wait. So, they all met him? Like, if you're a guy and you're on Insta, and you're DMing with a girl, right? She says, I'm going to go to Starbucks and we're all going to be there? Are we going to have a four? Because that's too much work. Anyway, they eventually agreed to meet at Starbucks. Investigators believe that Dreyfus persuaded the 17-year-old to get into his vehicle to talk before driving off without her consent. The teen sent a message for help to the others, who called 911. Deputies then made contact with Dreyfus on his cell phone. What? So they called him. Like, hey, can you pull over? Apparently that girl doesn't want to be with you. He pulled over about 2 miles away. 2 miles? How slow is he driving? Or how's the traffic in Vista? Deputies rescued the teen, who was unharmed, and detained Dreyfus. He was later arrested on suspicion of kidnapping, sending harmful matter to a minor, and communication with a minor for specific offenses. Now, at first I said, oh, she's 17. That's not even illegal, right? But it is in California, apparently. To bang. Not to drive in a car with someone. So she could have gotten in, closed the door. She goes, hey, drive me to Walmart. He goes, okay. As soon as they're driving away, she goes, I'm kidnapped! I'm kidnapped! Calls her friends. 2 miles away, the police call him, and he pulls over? What a strange story, right? We're going to have to follow up on this and see what happens, because none of that seem... They seem like a bunch of idiots. He doesn't seem like a very smart underage sexer, if that's really what he was going for, because you would never meet with the rest of their friends. You get them alone, right? Not that I know, but that seems more logical. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. They were probably like, yeah, we can't just get him on the sex because you're going to have sex with him. Right? It's not necessarily, I guess it is kind of illegal if you tell him, like in chat, we're going to meet up for sex. Definitely 100% sex, right? You agree 100%? And he goes, yes. And then he meets up. I guess that's still kind of illegal. But then you have to call the cops. This is the problem with Chris Hansen and this whole thing, which, by the way, head on over to Chris Hansen's YouTube. He's a one-trick pony now. He's got no money. He's broke. And so all he does is go, pedophiles are bad, right, everyone? Check out my YouTube. Pedophiles are bad. Give me money. What a loser. So everyone watched that for years. Now they want to do their own stings, and and it's not going to work out because you got to call the cops. Then you got to show them the texts. What? Is there going to be a cop standing over your shoulder going, oh, yeah, I guess he did send that. There's no way you could fake that, right? And then arrest him. What a mess. Speaking of dumb teens, wait, is this girl a teen? A Florida woman obsessed with the Columbine High School massacre and the Oklahoma City bombing was arrested after her parents discovered 2 dozen pipe bombs in her bedroom. Illegal search by the parents, the authorities said on Friday. Michelle Colts, 27, was charged with 24 counts of making a destructive device with intent to harm. So you don't get, like, one count for making them all. No, officers, it was a batch. They're all just one. Can you just charge me by the batch of pipe bombs, not for the individual pipe bombs? Ms. Colts had been on the radar of the authorities for more than a year, though. A printing company had contacted his department in 2018 because Ms. Colts had ordered several manifestos and anarchist instructions, the sheriff said, adding she became consumed with the Columbine and Oklahoma killings. Wait a minute. She'd ordered manifestos? So this means she wrote a manifesto and then she sent it to a printing company and she said, can you please print me off 100 copies of my manifesto and please label it manifesto, definitely going to kill everyone with pipe bombs, 100% pipe bomb for sure. Yes? Right? Don't clip that audio, please. In 1995, oh wait, what the heck? Now they're jumping back to history. I hate when articles do this. While checking Michelle's bedroom, her parents found what appeared to be a significant amount of pipe bombs, other bomb-making materials, and numerous weapons. Her parents, who were in the military, called the authorities on Thursday. When police arrived, they evacuated the home, which was 30 miles south of Tampa, and they called a bomb squad. The police discovered 24 pipe bombs, smokeless pistol powder, fuse material, 23 different knives, 2 hatchets, 2 BB pellet type rifles, 6 BB pellet type handguns, and dozens of books and DVDs about murder, mass killing, domestic terrorism, and bomb making. this lady's got no hobbies other than this. Can you imagine being so focused on one thing and being this productive to collect all this stuff about your hobby? I'm gel. The amount of highly destructive materials we found in this home was astonishing. If used, these bombs could have caused catastrophic damage and harm to hundreds, even thousands of people. The police found Ms. Coltz at her job, which arrest records say she is a laborer, but no additional details were available. Held with bail set at $180,000. Guys, that's only a couple people pulling some money together and we can get her out for an interview. Donate at newswithnick.com/criminalbail. Ooh, we could do that. Criminalbailforinterview.com or something. Records showed no lawyer listed and attempts to reach her parents on Saturday were unsuccessful. Who knows the amount of harm that could have been done, blah, 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 blah. So I do have her arrest record. Not much to say. Her build is T, whatever that means, and her ethnicity is N. Inappropriate. I didn't write this. No, her race is W, white. Her ethnicity is N, and I looked up what this means. You're supposed to write H for a Hispanic or Latino. You're supposed to write N for a non-Hispanic or Latino. I don't know. That's just how arrest records work. And all of the charges are listed here, and they are all the same charge. Make, possess, throw, place, project, or discha. Make, possess, throw, place, or discha. Like it cuts off the value in the database is cut off or whatever. I guess it's going to be discharge explosive or something. So maybe that'll be the show name. Make, possess, throw, place, project, or discha. You guys been scared of the Joker movie? People are so scared. The Joker movie, it's so triggering. Joker viewers walk around the world, walk out of movie theaters and urge cinemas to ban the ultraviolet film, saying it glamorizes gun crime and deals with mental health issues in a triggering way. All right. This is from the Daily Mail. They're stupid. So this movie came out, The Joker, right? It's about the rise of the Joker in the Batman franchise. And before it came out, all the media was saying, is it going to trigger people who are incels to do a shooting? Because remember the last time that there was a shooting, everyone, at the Batman movie, and it was a guy who walked in and he said, I'm the Joker, and he shot everyone. Aren't you all scared to go to the Joker movie? It's going to be super scary. Security in a New York incident leaves some unsettled after Joker. Extra layers of security, intense on-screen action, and a frightening incident inside a New York theater combined to create an unsettling experience for some moviegoers who went to see Joker on its opening weekend. The news can't stop. They can never be like, oh. So the Joker came out, and actually, for the most part, nothing happened. Like, everyone was fine. People just liked it, or they didn't like it. And they walked into a theater, they watched it, and then they left. A young man who was loudly cheering and applauding on-screen murders sent some people headed toward exits in a crowded theater in Manhattan's Times Square on Friday. Other patrons yelled at the man who spit on them as they left early. Well, now that's rude. Okay. I was scared. I'm sure a lot of other people were, Hood said in an interview conducted by Private Messages. Social media users posted photos of police, security sweeps, and safety notices at theaters in California and Florida. And in Tennessee, a drive-in theater banned moviegoers from wearing costumes to a screening of the R-rated Joker. Now, some are saying, okay, if you're dressed in Joker makeup, no go. Do not dress like the Joker and come to this movie. You guys are dumb. The Joker went and shot up the Batman movie, therefore anyone in Batman costume should not be allowed to the Joker movie because that's what the bomber would look like. Anyway, this other article here has some screenshots of people on Twitter who were really upset. I walked out of this movie. Ban the movie. It's a psychological approach on the mind. It's a psychological approach on the mind. I was rooting for him until shit got real. Mark Atkinson says, I would have walked out of the Joker after an hour if the missus would have let me. Okay, so A, he's a yogurt boy, and B, he doesn't want to be in the Joker? Because of what? Don't do it, folks. Hashtag. White dude next to me walked out of Joker in the last few minutes of the movie. Had me a little shook, not gonna lie. Katie Carter writes, I've never walked out of a movie, but with Joker, I came very close. Okay, here's three screenshots of... Sorry, I don't even know how to count. Here's four screenshots of four people on Twitter writing stuff about walking out of Joker. Of all of the people on Earth, here's four. And in this screenshot, there's a couple words that are bolded. Walked, out, and Joker. Do you know what that means? That means that someone searched for those terms on Twitter, and the search results come back, and they bold the word that is the result of the search. And then they just took a screenshot of that and made that a news story. So go on Twitter, and you can Google or search Google. What do I Google on Twitter for this? Our language has become merged with each other. The word Google is synonymous with search, no matter where you are. Anyway, search for anything you offensive you want, take a screenshot, and then write an article. Right? This person said that there's yogurt boys and N-words all over the place. I can't believe it. And then write a 20-page article about that. This is embarrassing. Being caught like this, having searched for Twitter posts that match your narrative? I'm getting angry here. Chat says, I'm troubled by Twitter posts being considered reputable news these days. This is what we're in. This is what News with Nick is all about, is exposing these people for articles that are not researched. All you do is go on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and you just Google stuff on these sites and then take a screenshot and go, look, here's what people think. I can't believe what people would think this. Sorry, I'm getting insane here. It's crazy. Seven toddlers were found wandering by themselves near a Gilbert preschool. Teachers have been suspended. Seven preschoolers were found wandering the area of a Val Vista Drive. According to the Gilbert Police Department, the gate failed at the Little Sunshine's Playhouse and Preschool, allowing the kids to leave the playground. Several drivers passing by, saw the toddlers by themselves with no adult in sight and called 911, helping the kids get back to school safely. Witnesses say a couple of the children were several feet into the street. That would be the worst thing in the world, to see little kids get hit by a car, said a witness. She did not want to give us her name, so we will call her Cynthia. Okay. I noticed two little kids out kind of close to the street, so I slowed down. As I got closer, I noticed there wasn't a guardian, and I stopped. I was in the center, and the kids started to step out into the street. Even just having seen these kids that weren't my own made me sick to my stomach, said Samantha Crouch, another witness. She said others corralled the kids while she went inside to speak with an employee who said she was told their gate latch was confusing. The latch on the gate went two ways, and it was very confusing, and they said they would do more training on the gate latch? I found this answer to be grossly unacceptable. The gate latch is a mistake. It happens. I think there's a completely separate issue. So yeah, they weren't watching the schoolyard or whatever. All right, so Little Sunshine's Playhouse and Preschool of Overland Park. Is this the correct one? Yeah, so here it is. They've got a 4.7-star rating on Google, and almost all of them are 5 stars. Fantastic experience from booking our tour. Super high-end classroom. I was going to say tour. What is this? That would be strange if your preschool had tours open during the day. Right? Booking our tour. Super high-end classrooms and the teacher have an awesome energy. Thanks, Christina. My wife and I are excited about our kids' enrollment. We love the LSP Overland Park. The staff is extremely caring and attentive to our child. So, I mean, it looks like they've got a ton of reviews. Let's see. There's one one-star review. Can I see what it is? Nope. Well, yes, I mean, but it's not related to the news story. Classes are overcrowded and not well supervised. Our 4-year-old had 2 major incidents in the first 2 weeks. No explanations, no corrective action. We had to remove her for her safety. We requested a refund. When I was at preschool, there was this kid. He was going around the playground and he was kicking people. He was just kicking kids because he's a kid. I don't know if he had sleep apnea or what, but he's kicking kids. A girl's crying. He kicks someone else. He's like, ow, comes over to me. I'm ready for him because I've been watching him kick kids. Like, I can recognize patterns. I take my stance. I part my legs a little bit, ready for him to kick me. Right? I expose the bait, if you know what I mean. He swings his leg forward toward my kid thing. Anyway, between my legs. I close my legs, right? This was the trap that I laid for him. I catch his foot in my upper thigh. I stare him in the eyes as his leg is outstretched, stuck in my thighs, and he's on one leg, and he can't hold his balance, and he falls. And I go, whoa, I'm amazing. And I hear across the playground, the teacher, Nick! I go, what? Are you kidding me? I downed the kid that was kicking everyone using my bait and my upper thighs. And also, so these drivers are driving by. How would you ever know, like, when you're going to stop? It's a gaggle of, you never stop for gaggles of geese or gaggles of turkeys, really. But there's a gaggle of toddlers you just pull over and you're like, should I do something? There's always this moment when you're out and you're like, should I stop or should I not stop? So I'm on my bike going past the library a few weeks ago, and I bike by this guy, and he's laying in the sidewalk. Like, but maybe he's just napping. We got a heroin problem. We got some homeless people, but maybe he's just fine. Maybe he's just hanging out. And I bike past him and I look at him, and then I keep going, right? And in my head, I go, should I do something? And then I look back and I realize that his phone is like out in the middle of the sidewalk. Like, he's not curled up in a comfortable position. So I go back and I yell at him. I go, hey, hey. He doesn't move. Like, great. He's freaking dead. I'm going to have to call the cops or a pastor or something. And then I walk up to him and I'm like, well, what do I do? What if it's like in a movie where you get close to him and he was tricking you the whole time and he traps you or gets me with his upper thighs? So I kick it. I kick him on the foot and I go, hey. And he goes, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. He jumps up and I go, just don't leave your phone like that. Someone could steal it. He goes, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. He grabs his phone and he stands all awkwardly looking at me. He's like, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I go, okay. Bye. So I jump back on my bike and I keep going. Man, the chat is alive. I wish I could read it. Oh boy. We got a lot of stories to go through. I may just push some of these off. Teacher suing after being fired for refusing to call transgender student by his male pronouns. Let's see if this is interesting.
High school teacher.
You know, we could just keep going. There's no reason I have to stop at an hour, right?
Was fired for not calling a male transgender student by his preferred pronouns are now suing the school board. The organization Alliance Defending Freedom is representing Peter Vlaming in court. Attorneys claim he did use the student's preferred masculine name, but avoided using pronouns because it offended his conscience. And they say that's his constitutional right. But school officials say the superintendent asked Vlaming multiple times to respect the student's wishes, and when he refused, he was fired for discrimination on the basis of gender identity. The school board has not commented on the lawsuit.
When it's time to get the insurance...
Oh, here's a dog talking.
You're the cat.
Peter Vlaming was a teacher for nearly 7 years. He lost his job in December in a unanimous decision by the school board. The original complaint stemmed from a ninth grade student who had transitioned and requesting to be called male pronouns, he and him. The principal said that Vlaming refused to use the male pronouns because he considered it a lie. Vlaming said they agreed only to refer to the student by his new name, citing his devout Christian faith. Okay. Superintendent Laura Abel told the school board that administrators ordered Vlaming on numerous occasions to refer to the student by male pronouns. When the teacher refused, she recommended termination. So let's say, here's how it went down. The guy's name is Jason. Where did I get Jason? I don't know. So say the guy's name is Jason. And it's French. He's in French? A French teacher, right? Which, by the way, I wonder if this was the French pronouns or the English pronouns that were in question here. So anyway, say the guy's name is Jason. Every time Jason comes into class, the teacher says, hello, Jason, right? Every time Jason needs to hand in his homework, the teacher says, Jason, do you have your homework? every time they, you know, they refer to Jason, they say Jason, the name, right? The teacher. And Jason goes, please refer to me as him or he. So if someone says, who? So wait, hang on. How would I word this? So if someone says, what seat is Jason in? To the asking the teacher, and Jason is in seat 25, the teacher would say, Jason is in seat 25, rather than the teacher saying he is in seat 25. He refused to say he or him, but he continued to use the name. And the school board said, say he or him. Say it. Say the pronoun. And the teacher said, no, I'm using the name. I'm just not going to say the pronoun. Like, all right, you're fired. So the teacher did not say she or her. For sure, that would have been in the article if that was the case. So the teacher wasn't doing what we call misgendering the student. The teacher just refused to say he or him. And so now the teacher is suing, saying that you can't tell me I have to say a word or I'm fired if it's not part of the curriculum or whatever. And the teacher kind of has a point. And I'm not saying, like, from a logical or moral standpoint only, it's kind of a legal point. You can't be compelled, you can't compel speech if it's not part of your job. It's not part of his job to say the word he and him, right? So anyway, that's where that's coming from. A woman charged with feeding coworkers meth-laced bean dip.
Criminal charges, authorities say, for serving bean dip laced with meth to her coworkers. Cassandra Medina Hernandez worked in the deli of a grocery store in Jefferson. The Marion County Sheriff's Office says September 9th, she put the meth in a serving of bean dip. Then a coworker says Medina Hernandez let her try some of the bean dip she was making. The victim says she liked the dip so much that she took some home to eat during her break. The victim says she started to feel sick and unsteady when she went back to work a short time later. She went to the hospital and tests suggested she had meth in her system. Medina Hernandez is charged with unlawful delivery of methamphetamine, recklessly endangering another person, and causing another person to ingest a controlled substance. Katie John.
This seems like a huge mistake by this lady. She's making a bean dip, and someone comes up and says, oh, can I have some of that? And she goes, well, yes, I guess. Like, what are you going to do? Go, no, no, no. This is my bean dip that I'm making meth in for myself to eat later. No, you cannot have any. Well, she wouldn't say the meth part, but like now you're in a situation like, this is like a Curb Your Enthusiasm situation. Like, do I be a little bit rude and go, no, you cannot have any of this bean dip? Or do you be polite and you give them some bean dip and now they're addicted to meth, right? Anyway, because if you're smart, why would you give away your meth bean dip for free?
With meth to her coworkers. Cassandra Medina Hernandez worked in the deli of a grocery store in Jefferson. The Marion County Sheriff's Office says September 9th, she put the meth in a serving of bean dip. Then a coworker says Medina Hernandez let her try some.
Yeah. So we don't know exactly how it went down, but that is what happened. So let's head on over to the top story of the day that we're going to cover. And the final story, does anyone from the chat have any stories that you need to cover? All right. 9-year-old Minnesota boy accidentally wins a 10K. Oh, Jesus.
All right. This is a great story. A 9-year-old boy wins a race that he wasn't even supposed to be running.
He started the race with the 5K group. All right. Keep that in mind. By the time he crossed the finish line, oh, he had run a little bit farther than that. Fox 9's Maury Glover has the story from Sartell.
A 9-year-old boy from St. Cloud was born to run.
Oh my God, this is so dumb. I can't believe this story. They've got a guy, he's standing outside the business that this happened. He's done an on the streets shooting. Wait a minute, not an on the streets shooting, an on the streets video shooting.
Wrong turn during a 5K, he wound up winning a 10K run about a week ago here in Sartell.
A 10K winning medal? Accidentally.
Oh, I hate this
kid. I like wasting my energy and stuff and sprinting and just running.
Cade Lovell practices at least 3 times a week, running 2 to 6 miles at a time. But the 9-year-old has already accomplished something adults several times his age.
There's so much B-roll of this kid running through neighborhoods now.
5K. This is not This is not as usual.
Lovell's mom says he's been running in races since he was just 18 months old.
He just pretty much popped out running.
When he didn't cross the finish line of the St. Francis Franny Flyer 5K the Saturday before last, his mom thought he was having an off day, but her concern soon turned to panic.
I'm like, okay, maybe he's having a bad race. Like, it happens, no big deal. Maybe he got lost, I don't know, maybe worse could happen, who knows?
It turns out Cade missed the turn for the 5K run and ended up running the entire 10K route. By the time his mom found him at the end of that race, he was all alone, and she thought he'd come in last place.
So then I told him, like, you're in so much trouble. You can't believe you did this. And he's like, I didn't do it on purpose.
The mom is evil, right? So let's go back. She turned to panic. She's calling her friends. She's like, where's Cade? Where's Cade? He's lost on the 5K course. He gets across the line. First thing she can say to him is, you're in trouble? He's probably beaten every day.
And I told him, like, you're in so much trouble. You can't believe you did this. And he's like, I didn't do it on purpose.
Until a woman told her he'd actually come in first place, a minute faster than the second place finisher, a 40-year-old woman.
I accidentally just won it, and they've been practicing for a long time. I just was really surprised that I did that.
After his accidental win, Lovell ran another 5K, sponsored by the Jacob Wetterling Resource Center.
Boring.
He won that race, too.
All right. Lowell's mother became worried when he didn't cross the finish line in the Francis Franny Flyer 5K in Sartell on September 21st. I had everyone looking for him, even a fireman. I was like, you need to go find my son. Then a spectator called Heather Lavelle's brother-in-law, who was in the 10K race, to let him know there was a little kid who was running really well. Cade said a woman told him to keep going when he approached the 5K turn, so he did. So yeah, they've got these idiot volunteers on these courses, and they're supposed to look at your bib and know which race you're running, 5K or 10K, and go, okay, 5Kers go this way, 10Kers go this way. And she gestured the wrong way, right? So he goes 10K, and he's running. He's like, this is a pretty long 5K. Race organizers told Cade's mother he finished in first place, and she thought they meant in his age group, but he was first place overall. He finished in just over 48 minutes. He actually probably did better than he normally does because he was trying to finish in panic mode, Heather Lovell said. Yeah, I finished in panic mode. Yesterday, 4 miles through my 6-miler, I realized that I'd forgotten to lock my bike downtown, and I was like, uh-oh. I better pick it up. It's going to be gone. I knew it wouldn't be gone, but I was like, for a second, I was like, oh, crap. I forgot halfway through my run, realized halfway through my run, my bike is sitting unlocked downtown, and there could be a passed out man next to it. You never know. Right? It was fine. All right, so we have this lady's Facebook, the mom, right? Heather Ann Rodinger Lovell. Her profile picture is the kid holding his plastic 10K winner's medal. The kid's crying and he's running, right? It's like a montage, collage. If you scroll through, oh man, oh, this is disgusting. Yesterday, 2:14 p.m., taking care of those feet and legs. A runner needs self-care to make sure injuries do not happen. And there's a picture of the kid. With acupuncture. Wait, is that acupuncture? There's pins in his legs. I told you he's getting abused. This is insane. Anyway, you can scroll through her entire Facebook. And it's just going to be a bunch of things where her friends or her are sharing all of the national news that's come from this kid. I'm looking for an indoor track near us for an interview for Cade on Friday. This is from 2 days ago. People are still interviewing him over this story. One little outlet picked it up. Kid went for a run for a 5K, went the wrong way, won the 10K, whoop-de-doo. Like, I could understand if he ran, as a 9-year-old, like a 40-minute 5K. He ran a 48-minute 5K. Now, the thing is, we can't really look up competitive races because there are no 9-year-olds or 10-year-olds or elementary school kids that competitively run 10Ks. So you can't really just go like, okay, that's X good in like that age group. Like, I'm sure you could find 10Ks where kids have run in, but there's no school clubs that run the distance of 10K at that age. I was watching TV at work. This pops on.
Actually come in first place.
It's the one we just watched.
Second place finisher, a 40-year-old woman.
I accidentally just won it.
This is Videoception. We're watching a video on her Facebook of her watching the video and being so proud that she's famous now because of this kid. It's disgusting. One of her Facebook posts goes like this. Holy gross. I just read an article and a writer yells at Kate and tells him to suck a dick. What the hell is wrong with people? Who talks about a child like that? I don't care if this is the tone of the publisher. If this is how they talk, they need to be shut down. Do not click on their link or give them any traction. I am so sad for Cade for him to have this kind of nasty article attached to his name. So here's the thing, guys. If we talk enough about Cade and be disgusting and rude, she's going to tweet the show. She's going to tweet the News with Nick show and be like, how disgusting. Okay, I'm not really trying to yell about the kid, though. Like, no one cares. I'm yelling about the news because it's not that exciting. This was a small town race. Let's go over races. Okay, so we got the Boston Marathon, 30,000 runners. That's considered an extremely huge race, right? Then you got big races. Pretty big races, like huge. 2,500 to 5,000 runners would be a pretty big race. Then you've got big. So you got big below pretty big. That's like 1,000 to 2,500 is a big race. Then you've got large, which I would call 250 to 1,000. And then you've got smaller, 100 to 250. And then you've got embarrassingly low, which is under 100 runners. And then you've got, like, why is anyone even showing up, which would be anything under 50. So the 10K that Cade ran and won, I have the results here. He was first out of 15. 15. Nobody ran this race. There was no competition. The news story is literally, kid went for a run, went the wrong way. National news. Yeah, he's a little quick for being 9. A little quick. Okay, he's running 746 miles, which fine. That's quick for an elementary schooler, I guess. But hey, maybe he'll show me up and be in the Olympics soon. All right, this has been News with Nick. Head on over to Heather and Bowden Dingersham Lovell's page and say, hey, I heard about Cade on News with Nick. Every post she makes is open to the public. She's insane. And I can't believe more people aren't trolling her. Like, what are these people on Reddit and 4chan doing? I guess Reddit's not like this. What are these 4chan people doing if they're not going to people in the news and going to their Facebooks and publicly harassing them? No. FBI, I'm not saying to cyberbully people. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, why don't people? No! Okay, too far. Don't do it. If you want to read more about Cade, though, head on over to her site or her Facebook page and just scroll through all of them, and you can see every article that has ever been written about him for taking a wrong turn. Newswithnick.com is the website. Type in your phone number to get status updates on the stuff, and that's the end of the show. Bye, everybody.